of course, that we would be spending time acknowledging and remembering those who have died in the service of our country. And I thought it would be very appropriate today to talk about death. And this, in the middle of the week, he came up to me and said, "How's your studying going?" I said, "I am buried in death." And but I wanted to share with you some of the things that I learned as I studied and prepared for this. I'd like to begin by looking at different authors and famous people at their views of death. So if you would follow with me. First one is from Wolfgang Borchert. He's an author, a German author, during the World War I and World War II. He says, "A man dies. Only a few circles in the water prove that he was ever there. And even they quickly disappear. And when they're gone, he's forgotten without a trace, as if he'd never existed. And that's all." Stephen Hawking: "I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers." Jim Morrison. Anybody know Jim Morrison from The Doors? The first service, nobody knew who he was. "Death makes angels of us all and gives us wings where we had shoulders smooth as raven's claws." I'm not even sure what that means. That's why it was from The Doors. Oscar Wilde, playwright and poet from Ireland: "Death must be so beautiful to lie in the soft brown earth with the grasses waving above one's head and listen to the silence, to have no yesterday and no tomorrow, to forget time, to forgive life, to be at peace." Stephen King, famous author: "Death is when the monsters get you." Francois Rabelais, he is a French philosopher: "I go to seek a great perhaps." This was from a Buddhist website: "Our body is like a guest house and our mind like the guest. When we die, our mind has to leave this body and enter the body of our next rebirth, like a guest leaving one guest house and traveling to another." You have to tell me who said this. "Death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force." Yoda, right? Sure, you knew that one. And then this one was my favorite. This is Woody Allen, of course. "It's not that I'm afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." So a lot of people have a lot of opinions about death. And today I'd like to really go to the source. We here seek the Bible because the Bible is our source of truth. It's all we need for truth and life and for death. And so this morning, I'd like to step you through my study of the Scriptures as I sought to prepare this and come to a biblical understanding of death and how we deal with it and how the Lord has called us through this process. So would you pray with me as we begin? Father, we want to thank you for, first of all, for loving us. Thank you that you hold all truth and that we can seek you for something that we don't know anything about, that we have not experienced firsthand, but that you did and that you know all about it. And so we come to you, Father, seeking your counsel, seeking you to fill us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get to work on this. Death starts in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 3. Prior to that, God created an amazing world, and he created it in an amazing way. It was in complete harmony with itself and complete harmony with him. He created the world to be glorifying him at all times. And that's what it did. Not just our world, but the universe. All things were good and working in harmony with one another, but especially in harmony with God and glorifying him. But in chapter 3 of Genesis, this beautiful world gets shattered by sin. I'd like to read with you where this starts. God says to Adam after he sins, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. I just want to stop there and think about that phrase for a little bit. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust. And to dust you shall return. So what just happened? God said, Adam, because you sinned against me, the job that I gave you to tame this beautiful world will now become extremely difficult for you. And you will have to do that difficult work until you die. Death just entered the world. There was no death in the world before that. And what was the vehicle for death? Well, the vehicle was sin, right? The two are connected. Death came into the world because of sin. We cannot separate those two. There is no separating them. Hear these verses. Each will die for his own sin. They will bear the consequences of their own sin and will die. And the soul who sins shall die. There's no option. No option there. Hear from the New Testament. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, there's that connection, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And then for the wages of sin is death. So I have a question. Are there any sinners in this room? I thought I was in a bad crowd here. And for the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, you're a bunch of liars. So join the rest of us. You're a sinner too. We are all sinners, people. We are all sinners. Now, I didn't know that of myself. And sometimes, you know, you're in a crowd and you fear, does everybody know that? This is a hard truth. And we kind of resist wanting to hang on to that truth, don't we? And I was at a place like that in my life where I thought, okay, I know I do some bad things here, and I do some good things here. And I was a pretty good kid, I was raised well and all that, and my good probably outweighed my bad. And if that was the scale, there'd be some hope for me. But unfortunately, that's really not how the scale works. You see, it's not my good and bad that are the balance here. It's God's righteousness and my performance. So now, if God's righteousness and my performance balance out, then I'm in pretty good shape. No sin. I don't have to die. But the problem is it's not that way. The problem is that God's righteousness far outweighs my performance and yours. And so because of that, I am a sinner. And because I'm declared a sinner, the Bible tells us that I must die and you must die as well. It was mandated from God. If there is sin, there must be death. In addition, death attacks every living thing. Instead of growing in glory, all of God's creation is now subject to decay. All systems deteriorate. The Bible says it this way, for the creation was subjected to frustration by the will of the one who subjected it, and the one who subjected it is God, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. People, decay is a part of life. It's a part of our creation. Everything must deteriorate. So we see that all humans must die because all have sinned. And we see that all of creation is affected and is in the process of decay. So what is death exactly? What is it? Death is the cessation of the physical body on earth. What happens when we die is our physical body stops thriving. The breath is taken from us, stops thriving, and our physical body is then separated from our spirit. So now we are apart from who we are. That physical body, which was dust that had been integrated into a living system, the breath is removed, and now that physical body disintegrates back into dust. Psalm 104 says, "When you, God, hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust." And Ecclesiastes says, "The dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." Now, we also know that God ordains our death. He not only knows when and how we die, he determines those processes. Psalm 139, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Well, just this week I heard a story. Jeff Taylor was telling me about a story that took place in his backyard. I had to pay him a lot of royalties to be able to use this in my message today. So there was a bird, a baby bird that had fallen just in the fence, inside the fence of the backyard. And they noticed that the bird was out there, and they also noticed that Penny, their Irish terrier, was scurrying around the backyard. If you know anything about an Irish terrier, they are bred to kill. They're bred to kill small varmints. If Penny had found that bird, it would have killed it. So Jeff and Noreen are in the backyard scurrying around, trying to round up Penny and get her before she would catch the bird. Finally, they got her into the house, closed the door, turn around to go outside, and there is a horrible sight. You see, they hadn't really considered that their other dog, Bobby, was out there. Now, Bobby is a little different. He's also a terrier, but he's a little old, a little overweight, a little slow, but they looked, and Bobby has the baby bird in its mouth. You see, they hadn't considered Bobby, right? They were protecting that baby bird, trying to take away its death date because Penny was there, but Bobby got it anyway, didn't he? Well, it's kind of like that with God. You see, he didn't need Penny. He had Bobby. If Bobby hadn't have been there, there would have been something else. If that bird's date was ordained by God, that was the date. I think about it this way, too. Denise and I, if you know Denise at all, she's kind of, she follows trends in health and eating well and all that kind of stuff. And because I listen to the voice of my wife, I follow along as a good man. And we eat well, we exercise, we try to stay in shape and all that kind of stuff. And we were talking about this week, and I said, in a way, you start to trust in good health. You start to trust that, I'm elongating my life. Every French fry I don't eat, I've added another hour to my life, and that's a good thing, But really the truth in this is that God has ordained my days before I was even born. I am not changing my death date if I eat well. So the conclusion is I can go home and have ice cream and fried mozzarella sticks. But she tells me, no, you can't do that because we're not looking to have a longer life. We're looking to have a better life. Whatever. Thanks, Denise. Keeping me healthy. But we do have to be careful because we have to have a clear understanding that God has ordained our birth and our death. There is no escaping it. We can do all we want. I could eat all of the heart-healthy food all of my life. On the day I'm supposed to die, God doesn't have to take me by a heart attack. There are so many other ways he can do that, and he will. Well, I tell these stories, and they're slightly humorous, but the reality is that many of us live in deep hurt over death. Death of a loved one, especially those who have experienced what we call an untimely death. The death of a child, the death of an unborn child, the death of a mom or a dad who is not done raising their kids. The death of a young man or woman who died in service of their country or of a cause, or the death of loved ones who have died because of carelessness or foolishness, either their own or someone else's. Or perhaps even you have received an unhappy prognosis for your own life. And these are difficult situations, and really, who can understand them? Who can grapple with God's purposes in them? The point I want to make here, especially, is that God never expects us to not grieve through these. Even if we have a good understanding of God's sovereignty over death, even if we know that God knows exactly when and how it's going to happen, not only knows it, but ordains it, he never expects us not to grieve. Listen to these verses. But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you, and you are the helper of the fatherless. And we can add there, or motherless, or childless, or widow or widower. A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy temple. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners. These are not just nice words, not just platitudes. People, this is truth. This is truth that we can stand on. God knows more about death than anyone else, and we can go to him and get our consolation from him and gain our hope from him. There is no person, there is no practice, there is no substance that can be the true help that we need in the face of this curse of death that is upon us and around us. Only God can we find that in. So, what we discover so far is that we must all die a physical death, that all of creation is subject to death, that our death is planned by God. And finally, we see in Scripture that death is our enemy. You see, death was not a part of God's original creation. This is what makes me very nervous when people talk about death being a natural part of life. Oh, it's just a natural part of life. We must be able to face it. It is not natural, not at all. It's not what God intended. Death is a burglar. It's a thief. It comes to steal away life and breath. And it is the result of the curse because of sin. Death is an enemy because it separates a person from his body. It's an enemy because it is the result of Satan's attack on God's original creation. It's an enemy because it separates loved ones. And it's an enemy because it ends purpose in life. And there is one more thing that death does that makes it our ultimate enemy. You see, there is a death that an appointment with death that we all have. And now I'm not just talking about a physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. You see, the Bible talks about a second death. It describes this death as a lake of fire, as an eternal lake of fire. The Bible describes to us that this death that we must all face is eternal torture and punishment of which we are completely aware. It is not asleep. We are awake for it. It is an unquenchable fire that does not consume our bodies. It is torture of both soul and body, and it is eternal. And you and I, each of us, have an appointment with that second death. We must all face that. And that's what makes death the ultimate enemy, our ultimate enemy. It is a godless eternity that you and I will be cast into. Now, this is grim. This is very grim. This is very serious. And it cannot get worse than this. But then, as I continue to study, I come across verses like this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. That does not sound to me like what I just described. How can the Bible, who talks about an eternal lake of fire, also talk about this death as precious or blessed, meaning happy, or peaceful and restful? How can that be? It's because there's something missing. And what's missing, we find here in the book of Hebrews. Since the children, that's you and I, since you and I have flesh and blood, He, Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by His death, He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. This is the good news. This is the good news. You see, God saw the problem of death and created a solution. And that solution was His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who took on humanity for the purpose of living life, of going through death, facing all of death, just as you and I have that appointment. He had that appointment. And He died for the purpose of conquering death. He conquered death because He rose from the dead. You and I could not conquer death. You and I could not defeat death. But Christ rose from the dead, conquered it, which proves that death had no hold on Him. Death could not threaten Him. Death could not keep Him. Only Jesus was able to do that. And His resurrection proves it. Listen to these verses. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. There's that connection, sin and death. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He swallowed up death forever. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things is passed away. And finally, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. See, we all must die. All creation is subject to death. Our death is planned by God. Death is our ultimate enemy, but Christ has conquered death. He has conquered death. So, again, how can the Bible say on one hand that Christ has conquered death, and yet on the other hand say that there is a lake of fire that is inescapable, that awaits us all? The way that this works is because there's an exception clause in the Bible. In fact, there's many exception clauses in the Bible. Listen to what this says. Whoever keeps my word shall not see death, remembering that Christ is the word. You know this one. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, what? Believes in Him should not perish or die eternally, but have eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. See, what Jesus is saying here is that He alone has conquered death, but not just for Himself. He conquered it for the world. Though you and I will likely experience a physical death, that is the death of our bodies, the separation of our soul from our bodies, we do not have to experience the second death, judgment, and torture. But He makes it clear that this exception clause is only applied to those who believe. He said, whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just like blessed are those who die in the Lord. There is no condemnation. Only God could adequately deal with sin, and only God could adequately deal with death. But only you can believe this. It's appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. And this appointment with judgment can get canceled if there is another appointment that is kept. And that appointment is the appointment that you are here today and have heard this message. You see, the appointment that's held out there for every one of us will only be canceled if we meet the appointment that Jesus died on the cross, suffered for your sin and for mine, went through death, and then conquered death. Conquered the death that's waiting at that appointment. His call, his appointment with you today is that you believe, that you trust in what he did on the cross to defeat this ultimate enemy of ours. And so today, I know many of you in here do believe that already, but I don't doubt that there are some here who don't. There are some here who have not heard this or just have not trusted in God's work on the cross in order to miss that appointment with the second death. Today is an opportunity for you to take advantage of that and come and believe in God. Come and believe in his work to remove that future appointment from your life so you won't have to face that. But also for those of you who do already believe that, if you're like me, we struggle with death. We struggle with figuring out God's purpose and we wrestle with how God works and why he did that. So maybe today is a day that you just need to come and wrestle and come and say, God, I want to submit to your authority on death. I want to submit to your sovereignty over my life, my death, and the life and death of those around me, life and death of those who I've lost recently. So today's a day to deal with that. The worship team is going to come now. We're going to sing I Will Rise, which talks about the fact that we have the hope to rise again. We will rise again. Worship team, you can come up. We will rise again. Those who believe, those who have accepted that exception clause, we will rise again. As we sing this, if you want to come and put your faith in Jesus this morning, come. Our pastor is here, elders are here, their wives are here to pray with you to make that commitment. If you want to deal with God on death in your life, just because you need to come under his sovereignty on this, then come forward and someone will pray with you as well and help you as you take these steps in coping with this very difficult thing. This is a grim message, but it's a hopeful message because Christ conquered death once and for all, and this can be yours. Lord, you are the authority. You are sovereign. You are over all. And Lord, I just pray that you work in our hearts as we face a very difficult thing that is in our world. You are the only hope. You have provided the only way of salvation. You have provided the only way to face death. And so, Lord, we come. We come to you knowing that you are our hope. We love you, Lord, and thank you. May we go in your peace today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning.